This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on this Tuesday morning. Great to be here with you. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindo, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning to you, Benjamin.
Good morning.
It's great to be here.
It is. It's a good day.
It is. It's a National Cat Day, so I'm going to give a shout-out to my three cats, Tiger, Manny, and Orange. Good morning, cats and kittens. We love you very much. Cat guy now. Huge cat guy. Never was a cat guy before. Got married, turned into a cat guy.
I'm very allergic to cats. When I was a kid, went over and spent the night at my friend's house, and they had a cat. And my face, like, blew up. My eyes, like, swelled shut, completely closed. It was one of the most miserable nights of my life.
How did I know that, Paulie? Paulie, how did I know that he was allergic to cats? My dad also is allergic to cats.
I promise you, I'm really allergic to cats.
I did the finger quotes on it. I remember one time. So it's always really fun when they come to visit.
I'd actually think that I might be a cat person if I wasn't allergic to cats.
You don't have to do anything.
Right.
You don't have to walk them.
It's like a perfect pet. They got a little box.
They're literally the perfect pet.
I don't mind cleaning up the little box. It's fine. I could do cats if I wasn't allergic.
We have a robot in our garage. We don't even have to clean up the thing.
Really?
It does it for us. It's incredible. You can
like
leave
a Roomba for cat litter.
I bought it for Hannah for Christmas. Remember this last year? It looks like a big egg. Huge egg. And they like a spaceship. And they climb inside. And then it goes, it cycles it through. You pull out a drawer, it's already in a bag, you empty the bag, you throw it away.
Wow.
It's brilliant. When I tell you, though, you can leave for a week, and you come back, you're like, all right, how you doing? They're like, we're good. Did you enjoy your trip? It's incredible.
See, my dog, every single time I return home, even if it's like 8 times a day, acts like they haven't seen me for years.
For years. It's crazy. Years. My cats, I like that about them, too. And so I do, the switch that I've made is a little bit odd, but I just find when I had kids, I didn't have time to care for the dogs in my life as much as I did my kids. So, but I remember one time when my parents come to visit. So they can't come to our house, which is always makes for a nice visit, right? Like, hey, you can't come over because we have three cats. We'll put them in the back room and lock the door and stuff. And then, but I remember one time, Hannah and I went to dinner. We came home from dinner, and I go, why is my dome light on? My dad was sitting in my car, and I go, I pulled into the driveway, I go, what's going on? He's like, the cat hair was getting me. I go, did you take a Claritin or anything? He's like, no. I'm like, all right, well, just go back to your hotel. I don't know what to tell you. It's like Shohei coming out with that sling last night. I mean, at this point, you know, you're just like, all right, man, okay. It's a little dramatic. I feel like you were the same way, Ben.
It wasn't overly dramatic. It
I feel
was miserable.
Like it is. No, I feel miserable. Like I feel like it's overly dramatic.
No, it's,
I do.
It's
I feel
legitimately miserable.
Like if you take medicine, are you okay?
No, not with cats.
I've never
doesn't really do much.
I have a very strong statement.
I take medicine every day anyway. I take Claritin every single day.
I have a very controversial statement. I've never really believed in allergies, so just like, I just have always looked at them a little bit like, nah, it's kind of a bit.
There are doctors who specialize in the field and devote their lives to
it. Oh, absolutely. There's also doctors that specialize in, hey, don't worry, let me just rip, I'm going to rip your neck out here and pull it out, and you're going to be fine. There's doctors that specialize in everything, okay? Doesn't make it true, okay? I just have a...
Interesting.
I have...
Okay.
It's a con. Look, I said.
The big allergy conspiracy. It's a big,
I said. I feel like it's.
Shall we put up a poll question? Are allergies a real thing? Yes. No. Rocky Long.
Caitlin goes, bro, what? Look, I realize it's not necessarily based in fact, okay? What I'm telling you is everybody in my life that has had allergies, I always look at them and I go, really? Come on. You're fine. And it drives them crazy. Hannah's like, oh, this is that time of year, allergies. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, allergies. Okay, all right, sure.
You really want to blame us for our failures, apparently, in this arena.
I'm getting crushed right now, which is fine. It's absolutely fine. It's half tongue in cheek. But I can I just remember my friend when we were kids. We lived in Texas. We had a big ass yard. And I mean a big, big, big ass yard. Like, I don't know how much an acre is, but it was one of them plus some more. And I remember going out, having to slog through mowing the grass and all that. And I remember my friend down the street with a big ass yard. He's like, oh, I can't mow my lawn. Why? The allergies. I'm like, oh, okay. Sure. All right. Sounds good. Hannah, even my wife says, she has allergies. She says, they're definitely overblown.
For some people. But well, I don't think that is a blanket statement you can just make.
I think it is. Just take a Claritin. You'll be fine. Paulie, do you have any allergies?
No.
No, exactly. See?
But I also
strong of
like,
mind. You're strong of mind and body. That's why you don't.
But if somebody tells me they have a peanut allergy and they'll die if they have any peanuts,
I think you have to respect that.
I'll probably keep peanuts away from them if I can. If I can help it.
I mean, it's
food is different.
It's an food actual like syndrome.
It's different.
Just because Polly doesn't have allergies, Polly, do you have ALS? No. I mean, it doesn't mean it's not real. It just means you don't have it.
So this kid in Bo's class had a peanut allergy, and it was one of those things. It was like he can't be in the vicinity of nuts anywhere. You can't have a nut near him. Now, guess what? He's sucking down Planters and cashews, and everything's fine. Reese's. It's weird.
You can grow out of allergies. That is true.
Wow, no kidding. You can't grow out of ALS, as you said. All right, you can't grow out of some of these other things. Hence, why I've always thought. They were kind of a bit. I feel like my friend just didn't want to mow the lawn. I feel like you just don't really like cats.
I do.
So you work with me every day.
Yeah.
I come in here probably covered in cat hair. Never once have you been like, now that I just told you.
I don't bury my face in your shirt or anything. I mean, please don't.
Let's see how sick he gets. Look. Come on. Get in here. Get all over
here. You're going to be sad if I'm... If I cannot continue the program.
This is what you call an experiment. Oh, no. See, look at him. Look at him. You're so full of it. This is what I'm talking about. 7 years we've worked together intimately. And we've been close. There's a picture of me literally sitting on your face. Never once, Paulie, has he been like... Cat hair is driving me crazy. And I got cat hair all over me.
I mean, maybe he has. And
he
has just chalked it up to him being tired.
No. No, watch him though. The course of the show. It's a bit. You're doing a bit. I just don't think you like cats.
He chose violence this morning.
I did. It's National Cat
Day. I'm trying so hard to sneeze right now. It's like I'm close, but I can't quite get there. It's like, I just want to sneeze badly.
Yeah, of course you do. Of course you do. Of course you do.
Look up at the light.
Yeah, I'm really trying to look up
at the light.
See if I can get that sneeze going.
Now, right. I sneezed like 4 times yesterday. Does that mean am I allergic to something? Or does I have some dust in my nose?
That could be either.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're the Shohei Ohtani of allergies. my other hypothesis is Shohei's not hurt. Not even a little. He's fine. And if he was so hurt, you shouldn't play. They wanted to milk that moment last night. They really did. And if you saw him in the sling, my eyes rolled so far back in my head, I got allergies. And they went all the way back in my head and walks out to do his high fives in a sling, which I read that's the worst thing you can do for one of those shoulders, is put it in a sling. So,
what about just holding on to your collar?
Holding on to your shirt like this, leading off first base. Anybody else want to die when they saw that? Because I did.
Well, you were right when you said he wasn't going to be able to steal bases. Yeah. That was announced before the game.
That would be dumb.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are putting a leadoff hitter on who He's not allowed to steal bases. We will take no more questions.
And we actually prefer he doesn't slide. And if he can avoid running, well, when you put him
Wouldn't you put a guy like that a little down in the lineup, you know, if that's the case?
The good news is when you get him on and the guy just hits a two-run homer, all he has to do is jog. Can you jog? If you can jog, fine, because right. That's what the Dodgers do, is they just hit tanks. And the Yankees don't hit at all. So, yeah, it's 3-0, man. Dodgers on the verge right now of the first full-season championship since 1988. And I have a theory. We can talk about it today. Not really a theory, more of a statement. They're going to be insufferable. But you know what? You've earned this insufferability. I had a problem with you being insufferable when you hadn't done anything. You play the way that you guys have played this postseason. Tip my cap to you, dude. You've kicked the crap out of everybody you've played. You've played incredible baseball, fundamental baseball. Be insufferable. When you win a World Series, when you win a full season World Series, you're allowed to be insufferable. It comes with your fan card. Now, what I've been saying for 7 years is wait till you win one. Now you're on the cusp, you're gonna get one. Yes, now it's fine to be insufferable. You guys have earned that one, man. You've earned it. And they're playing great baseball. The Yankees are one of the worst World Series teams I think I've ever seen. Just not even interesting to watch. Not even a little bit. So it's hasn't been much of a series. It was billed as a good series. I'm guilty as charged. I said Holyfield. I said Tyson Holyfield, Ali Frazier. Bro,
yeah,
this is two rednecks fighting in the backyard. And one big redneck and one really skinny redneck. That's what this fight has been. It hadn't been much of one at all.
Chad says Woods is very judgy this morning. Well, like 1-for-13 with 7 strikeouts?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's judge-esque. That's yeah. Sorry about the, if you have allergies and, you know, you're going to get mad at me. I'm sorry. Just lived with it my whole life. Live with it now. Yeah, right. Look, here it comes. Here it comes. I think my dad's sitting in my car. I think that's what set me over the edge of like, I'm at the point of no return. Us pulling in and me going, what are you doing?
Sometimes you just need to remove yourself from the situation.
Sitting in my car, sitting there, with the dome light on. Like, what is happening?
You're supposed to sit in the dark? What are you?
You know what? Just don't come over anymore, I guess.
All right.
You make it?
I don't know. I'm a little iffy. I'm a little iffy going forward.
Chris says, Woods is allergic to empathy. I'm like the most empathetic person I know, but I also know a fraud when I see one. And I think I saw a fraud last night.
Well, we will discuss Game 3 of the World Series. We'll set the menu coming up. The only reason I'm happy is today is officially the last day I can be assured of the fact that the Dodgers aren't world champions, because there is a better than, I would say, 50% possibility that when we wake up tomorrow, it's a different world than the one we've been living in since 1988.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I agree with you. The 2020 World Series championship may count for something, but it certainly isn't a full, legitimate World Series title that's equivalent to all the other ones.
To this one.
Yeah.
To this one. And you know, not to, believe me, if that had been us in 2020, we would have never heard the end of it. We would have been probably online having to defend it, but I don't think I could have, you know? I mean, it was just like, oh, of course our first one is some, you know, little pygmy World Series championship. They would have murdered us, slit our throats online verbally about that little pissant World Series. And to go out and get one this year and to do it in the fashion that they've done it, I mean, yeah, like I said yesterday, I am a hater of epic proportions, but I'm not an idiot. I know good baseball when I see it. They're playing good baseball, and I don't take anything away from them at all. I'm not even going to sit in here and say, oh, the Yankees are playing bad baseball, that's why the Dodgers are winning. No, the Dodgers have seen this opportunity, and they have run with it. And yeah, man, it's not the outcome we wanted, certainly, but I'm not taking anything away from them, man. They've absolutely earned it. They took the crowd right out of that game last night.
When history goes back and looks at the final scores, yeah, they're not going to see
No, they won't.
one-sidedness that I think we felt as viewers so far in this World Series.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the ninth inning last night, the ninth inning the other night. Couple of, essentially meaningless runs that the Dodgers were able, or that the Yankees were able to tack on late. But it's been sheer and utter dominance from the Dodgers in all three games.
All right, we'll set the menu coming up and then off and running on a Tuesday. Ben Woods and Paul with you until 10 o'clock. Kelly Danick's got her traffic. And we will be right back with more on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. You might call it a copium, but I actually think this is more painful than soothing. The Yankees are making a really good argument this series that the Padres were definitely the second best team, the one that really had a chance to take out the Dodgers.
I'm kind of over that whole narrative, to be honest. I really am. I know AJ Casavell tweeted about it last night. He's going to be joining us at 8:35. I know the menu said
that's fine. You can always jump in. You, my assistant waiter here.
But I.
You're the bus boy.
Hey, why is that guy from the kitchen coming out here talking about this? Sorry,
you know,
I apologize.
Sometimes you have a trainee waiter who follows your regular waiter around.
Stage. What are you doing here? What do they call it?
Stage. He's our trainee waiter today. He'll be helping set the menu on the show, letting you know when AJ Casavell's on. Good job, Woods.
Yes.
It's not a narrative, though.
It is. That it should have been us?
I mean, yes, it's a narrative.
You know how we could have guaranteed that it would have been us? We would have won our games. We would have hit. We would have scored. It should not have been us. We didn't hit. We didn't score. I can't, like, I knocked that milk over. I can't scrape that milk back in the jug. Like, it's dead and gone.
The Yankees can say the same thing, except they can't say they had the Dodgers on the ropes and one game from elimination. But they've also stopped hitting.
Right
at the wrong
time. Narrative. It feels like an absolute fact that the Padres are the best team that the Dodgers had to face in the playoffs.
There's no doubt about it. The Padres were the best team the Dodgers have faced in the playoffs, bar none. Not even close. But
the only team to give them a punch
in
the mouth.
Any sort of fits whatsoever. Yeah. The only team to really, really push them at all.
How does that not bother you?
Oh, it does. But I can't. What I'm saying, it bothered me. What I'm saying is I can't, for the next 365 days or 720 days, go, well, I'm not going to be sitting on the front porch telling.
It's going to sting for like 10 years.
Telling my grandkids, well, you should have seen us. We had a 2-1 lead over the Dodgers and we completely soiled ourselves.
You know what? I'm still mad about the 2010-2011 Aztecs getting shafted by the refs in the Sweet 16 to UConn, because I felt like then UConn goes on and wins the whole thing and you go, son of a. That was our best chance. That was our year.
It's been
14 years, and I'm still mad about that.
I think Paulie's right in a sense that even if the Padres won the next three World Series in a row, you'd go, should have been four.
You wouldn't.
I think you will.
On the planet.
I mean, you'll be happy, obviously, but I don't think you can ever go back and go, you know, that just wasn't our year in 2024.
Bro, you're talking to somebody that was a Yankee fan that lived through three nothing. Like, and I got over it. You get over it. You have to. Or what's the point of sports if you're going to lament everything?
Well, it's easier when you have 26 before that.
Yeah, well, I mean, what year was that? That was 7?
04.
It was 04. You didn't win another one until 9, right?
So five years later.
5 years of
that's
like,
the
oh,
only
that sucked.
One since
yeah,
then.
And that's the only one since. And I don't know, man, like. It was in the palm of our hands, and the fact that we quit hitting and quit scoring, yeah, it sucks, man. But like, we got nobody to blame but ourselves. It was, you know, they have nobody to blame but themselves. They had them. They did. They had them on the ropes. It's the toughest team the Dodgers have faced this year. And but I can't go into next season. I can't go into next season being like, well, it's over now. You know what I mean? Like you kind of have to turn the page a little bit. And again. Give credit where credit's due. If the Dodgers had gone and got bodied by the Mets, that's what would have made me really sick. That would have been very, very sick.
I mean, yes, you turn.
No, that would have made it easier to me.
You turn the page, but
no,
you know,
not
this,
me.
The Padres fan base. You know, we're still talking about Matt Holliday not touching home plate in 2007.
You are. Drives me nuts.
A lot of people still bring it up. The getting close and not getting there, I think, stings for some people. forever. Doesn't mean that you don't also enjoy the great moments, and we'll move on, certainly. But this is one that will remain and linger and stick in your craw for a very long time.
Yeah, it's tough. It's absolutely tough. But, you know, we to say we belonged there instead of instead of the Dodgers, maybe, but you had to win those games, and you had two chances to do it, and you didn't do it. So, I don't know, man. Like, that narrative to me is I'm kind of already over it. You know, I that's just me personally. You fan how you want to. I'm just telling you how I feel. Personally, I'm like, all right, well, how do we figure out how to beat these guys in the next? Because what I told Paulie before the beginning of the series, I go, what I'm really afraid of, my greatest fear, is that this is the start of some gnarly dynasty by the Dodgers in the next 5 to 10 years.
Is it the start, or is it simply taking what is already a dynasty to the next level?
No, I mean, because you're actually throwing in
championships.
But it's not like they've been bad and all of a sudden they're good. They've won 12 of the last 13 division titles.
World Series.
They did win a World Series that,
right,
you know, but a minor right. one in 2020.
Sure. But
and now it's already 2024, and their team looks well set up.
Oh, yeah.
As you're saying, you know, going forward.
They're only going to get better next year.
It's
the law of the law. We say that every year about them.
And they do.
And they don't, because they don't win the World Series every year.
But
they get better.
What is, I think, what's frustrating for Padres fans is most teams, even the Yankees, seem to cycle. And they have their good phase,
yeah.
and then they go down and have
a bad
phase.
They
don't make the playoffs for a couple years, and, you know, they don't really feel like a contender. The Dodgers have messed up in the playoffs over and over again, they've never cycled down. Every single year they've gone into the playoffs, they've been favorites or one of the favorites going in. There hasn't been like that, oh, this is the year. This was the year, actually, that the Dodgers were down. This was their worst season probably in the last decade.
Yeah.
If you're being honest with it, the most vulnerable they've been, least deep they've been in pitching, this was the year that the Dodgers were their worst. And at their worst, they're going to win the World Series.
Yeah.
So they're probably only going to be better than this going forward. Because
but you are also the one that said it's much harder to win a second one. Do you still?
It is.
Do you feel like that they're not primed to win another one next year? Because I don't.
No, they'll be the favorites. There's no doubt about that. They'll be the favorites. No one's won two in a row again in 25 years, a generation since anyone's won two in a row.
Mm. It's a tough look, man. Tough look for the Yankees. Just right, did not show up.
We will. There were some interesting moments. It wasn't a scintillating game, but there were some interesting moments. Sending Stanton with two outs there. We can talk about some of the pivotal decisions there in Game 3 when we come back. In our 7 o'clock hour, take on Woods. We're still trying to qualify someone this week for those Aztecs basketball opening game tickets next week against UCSD. You'll have a chance to take on Woods at 7:10. Don't do this at 7:20. At 7:35 this morning, we're going to go through the list of top available free agents. They were set out this week by former GM Jim Bowden of The Athletic, and which players that he thinks the Padres might be in on. It's mostly pitching, but we'll give you some of those names that he has mentioned and connected to the Padres for this upcoming offseason. As Woods ably mentioned as his role as trainee waiter, A.J. Casavell, who is at the World Series in New York, will join us at 8:35.
Oh, he's there? I didn't even know he was there.
Yeah, he's there. That's why we're having him on. He's in the Bronx.
I thought we were just checking in with our pal A.J. Casavell.
No, he is in the Bronx right now, and we will get some flavor from the World Series and talk a little Padres with A.J. at 8:35. Paulie's got his Roundel Report at 9 o'clock, and then we'll take you into Annie and Elston at 10. Menu set. We'll come back, talk Game 3 of the World Series. Coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. There is the possibility, we discussed it during the break, that the worst and funniest possible thing to the Dodgers could still happen.
It could. It's still out there.
It is baseball, after all. And you could lose four games in a row. It does happen all the time, even
not
to good
in
teams.
The World Series.
Has never happened in the World Series, down 3-0.
Right.
But it's not
happens all the time.
It's not mathematically impossible.
No.
To come back and win four straight games. Got to win the first tonight. We'll talk about Game 4 a little bit later. The Yankees' decision, what looks like they're going to go with Luis Gil, young pitcher in a, you know, elimination game in this one. But first, we'll go through some of the circumstances of last night's Game 3. We'll get to that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So despite a partial shoulder dislocation, Shohei Ohtani back in the lineup leading off for the Dodgers last night. And while, Woods, you have called into question, you know, perhaps Shohei's exaggeration of the injury during the game, he certainly didn't look completely like himself to me. Even
looked exactly
on his swings at the plate.
His swings looked exactly like they've looked in every other World Series game.
He hasn't had a great World Series to begin with, but there's two games.
He hasn't.
I don't know. I think that there's definitely, you know, an issue there. I mean, the fact that they walked him on four pitches to lead off the game,
it's inexcusable.
Didn't even make him swing. That was a bad, bad start for Clark Schmidt. You could tell that his command may have been an issue, and it was in that game yesterday from the very get-go.
And I don't understand why you don't just throw first pitch heater and say, if you really have a dislocated, subluxated shoulder, hit it. See how far you can hit it. And if he gets you, he gets you. It's 1-0 in the first. Like, okay, no big deal. But to get him, you know, get him on nothing even close to the zone, nibbling on the outside corner, throwing away, didn't even have an opportunity to swing the bat, which is exactly what you wanted to do. If I'm Aaron Boone, the first thing I tell Clark Schmidt is throw him heaters and let's see what he can do with it. Like, challenge him. If his shoulder is dislocated, and Doc talked about it in a later interview in the game, he said, yeah, I mean, even just him standing in the box is a presence. Yeah, 100%. Like, absolutely right. You know, he said a percentage of Shohei is better than anybody else, and he's absolutely right about that. So he's just up there wagging the bat. Make him swing it, man. So you walk him, and then what happened with Betts? I think a fly out.
He made an out. I don't remember exactly how.
And then Freddie Freeman comes up and does what Freddie Freeman does to pitches in that zone.
He doesn't, though. I saw a stat yesterday. He has never homered in his career on an up-in cutter that Clark Schmidt threw. He has never, in like 222 cutters he's seen up there.
Oh, that was a cutter?
Yeah, and it was like an amazing stat. Like, Freddie has never hit that pitch out of the ballpark. And yet he did. Like,
it's
he knew it was coming.
It's the same location as the pitch from Nestor Cortez.
A little higher.
Little up.
A little higher than that one.
So he drops head out. 2-0, and it's just the blink of an eye, and the Yankee Stadium crowd, dead. They're gone, and 2-0 to that team is 2-0 to that team. It's insurmountable. I mean, it's insurmountable, and I think every Yankee fan felt it. Like,
did it not feel like game over right there?
100%. I mean, and the crowd just silence. Even more silent than when Fat Joe was out there. That was pretty quiet when Fat Joe was out there. That was a rough one for Fat Joe. Last night, but yeah, and then on and on we go. Clark Schmidt, you know, the I was telling these guys off the air, every year we go into the World Series, or really you go into any playoff series, and you have these things on paper that should check off, right? You should be able to say, yep, okay, Dodgers have a really good bullpen, check. The Yankees have far superior starting pitching, check. The offense for the Yankees is great at the top, check. Literally nothing's come through. I mean, nothing. No one knows anything. It's so futile to even speculate that we know about baseball when the Yankee starting pitchers, other than Cole, they can't get out of the third.
I think the one thing that has played out, though, that we predicted
Dodgers
is that
bullpen?
The Dodgers' depth in their lineup has been a major factor versus the Yankees.
Major.
You know, you can argue that the stars cancel out. They haven't, because Judge has struggled, and the Dodgers have gotten more production out of their stars. But it truly is the 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 hitters that have been the complete difference in this series.
Yeah, it's the comparison of Jazz Chisholm, Austin Wells, Anthony Rizzo, Anthony Volpe, Trevino last night, Verdugo, who did hit a bomb later off Kopech, which I guess there's something to build on there, maybe not. But then you look at what Kike's done, what Teoscar has done, what Will Smith, he hasn't really done much, what Muncy's done.
And Tommy Edman has been huge.
It's just the worker bees.
Lux has gotten on enough. They've done more than enough at the bottom end of their lineup.
And you can't give a team like the Dodgers. I was texting with some buddies last night, and it was like, these guys, they don't chase. They don't. They do not chase. They don't expand their zone. and they take their walks, and walks absolutely murdered the Yankees last night. Two hit batters and, what, six walks last night? You cannot do that. You can't give away free bags. They gave away three free bags in the first game. They gave six free bags plus two hit batsmen. That's eight free bags last night. You can't do that to a an average team. You can't do that to the Brewers. You can't do that to the Cardinals. They're gonna make you pay.
Could have gotten out of hand kind of early. They got the single by Mookie Betts in the top of the third on the 9-pitch at bat. Just fought one off to score Tommy Edman. Loaded the bases and the Yankees got the benefit of a 3-1 pitch, a call that was off the outside of the plate that could have forced in a run. Might have really unraveled for them, but Mark Carlson, the home plate umpire, who missed a few key calls, kind of kept the Yankees in the game. And they take Schmidt out. And they had that chance in the fourth inning. They get Lux out at the plate. They kind of hold on just like by the skin of their teeth. And in the bottom of the fourth, they're thinking, okay, Yankees may get on the board here. The two-out single by Volpe. The decision to send Stanton seemed to be the most debated moment of the game last night. And I saw just some outrage from Yankees fans. How can you send him there? Obviously, he's not a fast, great base runner. I thought it was a pretty easy send, actually. I mean, Teoscar is not bad out there, but that was like his best throw of his life.
96 miles an hour.
Hard, straight, one hop, perfectly to the plate, right for the tag. Look, and it had to be perfect to get him. I think you send with two outs knowing, are we really going to get another hit here, or is this our best chance to score?
Who's on deck? Rizzo?
Let's see. It was Volpe, so it was probably...
Rizzo was in the sixth last night, so it was Rizzo.
Rizzo,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna probably let Rizzo take an AB there with the literal slowest runner in Major League Baseball, Giancarlo.
It wasn't like he was out by six steps. He was
out up the line by. He missed. He wasn't near home plate.
If that throw was at all off the plate, though, I think he gets in there. So I didn't have a problem with the send there. I thought it was a decent decision to try to get a run and get on the board as opposed to
literally, Ben, I would say with any other player on the roster, I'm okay with the send based on who you have coming up behind you,
Bueller was outstanding, though. I don't know how many chances you were going to get against him. I'm surprised that Dave Roberts pulled him after just 76 pitches, five innings, just the two hits, two walks, five strikeouts, was getting more swing and miss, seemed to have more command, better life. That cutter that, he'd start at the left battered hip and it would, just cut right in over the plate was nasty a couple of times last night. Walker Bueller has been quietly a major factor for the Dodgers. After that six-run inning, he gave up to the Padres, he has been outstanding for the Dodgers this postseason. And that really came out of nowhere after his injury, his poor regular season, his poor debut in the playoffs against the Padres, and then just like a snap of a finger, he has been vintage Walker Bueller. And
locked it in.
That has really been a major factor for the Dodgers.
Yeah, locked it in 100%. The other thing I noticed last night, and I tweeted this before I saw John Boy break it down each one, I've never seen a team in the World Series more passive on four-seam fastballs. And I mean, Walker Bueller, first pitch to Aaron Judge, I was sitting there with Hannah, and I go, all right, watch this. You would be a lunatic to throw him a fastball. What's he throwing? Fastball.
Maybe all those Trent Grisham pep talks the Yankees have been getting about, hey, you guys see a fastball down the middle?
Just take it.
You take it.
You take it
every time.
Do not swing. hey, listen, 2-0, it's a hitter's count. Don't trust it.
I may not get in any of these playoff games, but I want to make sure I have a big impact on this series. You be like me. You take every single pitch that's straight and down the middle.
So I tweeted it last night. I said, I have never seen a team shy away from hunting fastballs more than the New York Yankees in my life. And I said, and I'm a Padres fan, right? I feel like our guy, I feel, in fact, I think we were one of the worst teams against the fastball.
Padres were not very good against the fastball.
In 2024, they hit everything else. The fastball, the Walker Bueller fastball, by the way, which is not the Paul Skeens fastball. It is not the elite of the elite. It's good. It's 94, 95 down the middle. So John Boy goes and puts it together. The Yankees, listen to this. The Yankees watched 24 forced by for called strikes tonight. That's the most by them in a single game this season. It's the second most by any team this season. The Nats had 27 on May 4th. They're standing up there, hitters counts, 2-0, and the heater is going right by them, and they're not even offering at it. They're not even trying. Like that, when you look at that and you say, my team didn't even try last night, I actually buy that. I'd buy that. If you're not up there looking to hunt fastball with the team that you have, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what your game plan was. It was horrible. And it made no sense. And my little leaguers would have a better approach than the New York Yankees did last night. I think anybody listening that coaches a team, your little leaguers, your high school team, your adult ball team, they had a better approach than the New York Yankees had last night. It made no sense. None of those guys are wild. Like, they're all around the zone. Bueller's around the zone. Hudson's around the zone. Kopech's around the zone. Gratterall's around the zone. Everyone's around the zone. What are you looking for if you're not looking for the heater?
Dodgers did walk six batters last night, but maybe that's a function of the Yankees just not swinging that much. I mean, you don't do – when you only have five hits, you're not doing a lot of damage on those six walks.
They didn't have a hit until the fourth. You know, Walker Buehler's throwing a no-no through 3 2/3 or something. So I had no idea what they were trying to do last night, but it was not a winning baseball strategy. I'm telling you, man, it was rough. And then you had the missed call to Gleyber Torres, which, listen, you're going to get missed calls. It's going to happen. And I tweeted this, and I stand by this. Aaron Boone, who will absolutely crap his pants and fire out of the dugout in May against the Blue Jays on a low strike three call. That call 6 inches above the zone on Gleyber Torres, rallies over, Soto on deck, Aaron Judge leaning over the railing, just gives him like a look, didn't say a word. In a World Series game in which your team has not had any spark whatsoever, could there have been a better time to go out and kick some dirt, get in that guy's grill, and tell him how big of warriors and battlers your guys are, like you do in May and June against the Reds, but you don't do it here? I just looked at that and I went, that man is cooked right now. He's just completely, completely cooked like his team. They're done.
Little help from the home plate umpire, but Dave Roberts once again managed his bullpen quite successfully. You know, six different guys coming in after Walker Buehler. Most of them just, you know, 2/3 of an inning, 1/3 of an inning, 2/3 of an inning, 1/3 of an inning from Brazier. And then, yes, Kopech gave up the home run, but ultimately when you're up four, it doesn't matter in the ninth inning. The only question on that strategy, and when you're up 3-0, there's not much you can really question, is knowing you've got a bullpen game today. They went pretty early to that bullpen, and you used, you know, Kopech for 24 pitches, Brazier for 22, who's been kind of your opener starter guy. Hudson had 22. So some of your longer relief guys have been taxed a little bit. So, you know, that's something that maybe the Yankees can at least point to today. Like, hey, let's see if we can work some of these bullpen arms and get them tired and perhaps a little more vulnerable than they've been so far in this postseason. It's not much of a string to hold on to if you're the Yankees, but it's something going into game four today.
Yeah, I mean, that's about all you have to hope for is, you know, you've seen these guys a little bit, and I'm curious as to what's going to happen, who Dave's going to throw out there in the first inning. And I have a lot of people online talking about Brent Honeywell, maybe the opener tonight, but we'll see. Ryan Brazier has done it. They got it in the bag, it feels like.
Hard to disagree with that assessment.
Yeah, I mean,
I do think if the Yankees found a way to win tonight, you know, with Gerrit Cole going tomorrow, they could get the series back to L.A., which would maybe change the dynamic a little bit, and the pressure would start shifting back to the Dodgers. You do not want to even think about having to go to a Game 7 after you're up 3-0, which makes Game 6 feel like a must-win if you're the Dodgers. I just don't know how they get it necessarily to Game 5 with Heel on the mound, who is not a control pitcher, going up against a disciplined Dodgers lineup. This has all the recipes for, you know, 11-1, just wrap it up easily and
roll
and,
over, man,
and just roll over and go home. If the Yankees don't do that, they could get back in this series and try for some history.
Yeah, you can't do it until you win a game. You got to win one game. So it doesn't look good right now.
All right, we'll take a time out. When we come back, it was a sports equinox yesterday. Other things going on, including a little Monday Night Football. We'll do that. Take on Woods, also coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.